The third Sunday in ordinary time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Hearing that John had been arrested, Jesus went back to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and settled in Capernaum, a lakeside town on the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. In this way, the prophecy of Isaiah was to be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, way of the sea on the far side of Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who lived in darkness has seen a great light. On those who dwell in the land and the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that moment, Jesus began his preaching with the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were making a cast in the lake with their net, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Going on from there, he saw another pair of brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. At once, leaving the boat and their father, they followed him. He went round the whole of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of diseases and sickness among the people.
It is very early in Jesus' public life, soon after his baptism by John in the Jordan and his temptation in the desert. Maria Valtorta writes, "I see Jesus walking along the green strip of vegetation that borders the Jordan. He has gone back to the same place where he was baptized. When he reaches the ford, he meets a group of men of different ages who are discussing animatedly, and then they depart, some southwards, some northwards. Amongst those going northwards, I see John and James. John is the first to see Jesus, and he points him out to his brother and companions. When John is near Jesus, about 2 or 3 metres behind him, he shouts, 'Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world!' Jesus turns around and looks at him. They are now only a few steps between them. They look at each other, Jesus with his serious, scrutinizing look, John with his pure eyes smiling in his beautiful, youthful face that looks like the face of a girl. He is about 20 years old, and on his rosy cheeks there is only the sign of a blonde down like a golden veil. 'Whom are you looking for?' asks Jesus. 'For you, Master.' 'How do you know I'm a master?' 'The Baptist told me.' 'Well then, why do you call me Lamb?' 'Because I heard him call you so one day when you were passing by just over a month ago.' 'What do you want from me?' 'I want you to tell us words of eternal life and to comfort us.' 'But who are you?' 'I am John of Zebedee, and this is James my brother. We're from Galilee and we're fishermen, but we are also disciples of John.' 'You are the Messiah. John said so because he saw the sign of the dove descending on you. He said to us, "Here is the Lamb of God." I say to you, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, give us peace, because we no longer have anyone who may guide us and our souls are upset. Where is John? Herod has taken him. He is in prison at Machaerus. The most faithful among his disciples have tried to free him, but it is not possible. We're coming from there. Let us come with you, Master. Show us where you live. Come, but do you know what you are asking for? Whoever follows me will have to leave everything, his home, his relatives, his way of thinking, also his life. You must be reborn if you want to be my disciples. Are you willing to do that?" "Yes, Master. Only you have words and can give us light. They descend upon us, and where there was darkness and desolation because we had no guide, they shed light and sunshine. Come then, let us go. I will teach you on our way. Later, John and James meet up with Peter and Andrew and tell them what they've seen. Andrew, who had seen Jesus previously when John had baptized him at the Jordan, shares their excitement. However, Simon Peter is most unhappy at being abandoned by them when there was fishing to be done. He's angry and unimpressed by this story at first, until he asks, "Did you say that he knows everything and hears everything?" "Yes, I did. Just think that when we saw the moon high up in the sky, I said, 'I wonder what Simon would be doing now.' And he said, 'He is casting his net, and he cannot set his mind at rest because he has to do it all by himself, since you did not go out with the twin boat in such a good evening for fishing.' He doesn't know that before long he will be fishing with different nets and catching different fish." "Holy mercy," says Peter, "it's true. Well, he will also have heard, 'Oh, I called him little less than a liar. I can't go to him. Oh, he is so good. He certainly knows what you thought. He already knew, because when we left him saying that we're coming to you, he said, 'Go, but don't let the first words of contempt discourage you.' And he also said, 'Don't be afraid to speak. The man who hears will come, because he is a man of good will.'" "Is that what he said? Well, I'll come. Speak of him while we're going. Where is he?" Sometime later, the four future apostles are waiting for Jesus outside a synagogue in Capernaum, just as Jesus has finished talking about repentance. Jesus goes out onto the little square. On the doorstep there are John and James with Peter and Andrew. "Peace to you," says Jesus, and he adds, "Here is the man who in order to be just must not judge before knowing. But he is honest in admitting he is wrong. Simon, you wanted to see me? Here I am. And you, Andrew, why did you not come before?" The two brothers look at each other embarrassed. Andrew whispers, "I did not dare." Peter blushes but does not speak. But when he hears Jesus say to his brother, "Were you doing anything wrong in coming? One must not dare do only evil things," Peter intervenes frankly. "It was my fault. He wanted to bring me to you at once. But I said, I don't believe it. And I did not want to come. Oh, I feel better now." Jesus smiles, and then he says, "And because of your sincerity, I tell you that I love you. But I am not good. I am not capable of doing what you said in the synagogue. I am quick-tempered, and if anyone offends me, I am greedy and I like money, and in my fish business, well, not always. I have not always been honest, and I am ignorant, and I've got little time to follow you to receive your light. What shall I do? I would like to become as you say, but..." "It is not difficult, Simon. For the time being, God asks you only this: to be just, to love mercy, to take the greatest care in following your God. Strive to do that, and Simon's past will be cancelled, and you will become a new man, the friend of God and of his Christ. No longer Simon, but Cephas, the safe rock on which I lean." "I like that. I understand that. The law is so off, I can't comply with it any longer, as the rabbis have made it. But what you say, yes, I think I'll be able to do that. And you will help me. Are you staying in this house? I know the owner." "I am staying here, but I'm going to Jerusalem, and after I will preach throughout Palestine. I came for that. but I will often be here. I'll come to hear you again. I want to be your disciple. A little of the light will enter my head. Your heart above all, Simon, your heart. And you, Andrew, have you nothing to say? I'm listening, Master. My brother is shy, says Peter. And Jesus says, he will become a lion. It is getting dark. May God bless you and grant you a good haul. Go now. Peace be with you. And they go away. As soon as they are outside, Peter says, I wonder what he meant when he said that I'll be fishing with other nets and catching different fish. And one of his companions replies, why didn't you ask him? You wanted to say so many things, but you hardly spoke. And Peter replies, I was bashful. He's so different from all the other rabbis. Some time later, after preaching to a crowd of people near the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asks Peter to take him out onto the lake, and the miracle of the miraculous draught of fishes described in Luke chapter 5 verses 4 to 11 takes place. Maria Valtorta concludes her account of this event. As long as the fishing manoeuvre lasts, Peter thinks of nothing else. But when he gets ashore, he begins to realise. He understands. He is frightened. Master, my Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of being near you. He is on his knees on the damp shore. Jesus looks at him and smiles. Get up, follow me. I will not leave you any more. From now on, you will be a fisher of men, and your companions with you. Be afraid of nothing. I am calling you. Come. At once, Lord. Hey, you, look after the boats. Take everything to Zebedee and to my brother-in-law, and let's go. We're all for you, Jesus, and blessed be the Eternal Father for this choice. And the vision ends. Shortly before his passion and death, when challenged by Judas Iscariot that Jesus favoured John more than the other apostles, Jesus replies, would you have liked to be the one? Can you pretend that this is so? It was a clear morning in the month of Adar. I was an unknown wayfarer on the road near the river. Tired, covered with dust, pale from fasting, with an unkempt beard and broken sandals, I looked like a beggar on the roads of the world. He saw me, and he recognized me as the one on whom the dove of the eternal fire had alighted. In that first transfiguration of mine, an atom of my divine brightness must have revealed itself. The eyes of the Baptist, opened by penance, and those other eyes, preserved angelic by purity, saw what the others did not see. And the pure eyes took that vision into the tabernacle of the heart and closed it there like a pearl in a coffer. When, after almost 2 months, those eyes looked up at the worn-out wayfarer, his soul recognized me. I was his love. His first and only love. The first and only love is never forgotten. The soul feels it coming. Even if it had gone away, it feels it coming from remote distances. It leaps for joy and awakens the mind, which arouses the flesh, so that they all may take part in the banquet of joy, in meeting again and in loving each other. And his trembling lips said to me, I greet you, Lamb of God. O faith of the pure, how great you are! How you overcome all obstacles! He did not know my name. Who was I?
Where was I coming from? What was I doing? Was I rich? Was I poor? Was I wise? Was I ignorant? Of what avail to faith is it to know all that? Does it increase or diminish through knowledge? He believed what the precursor had told him. Like a star that by order of the Creator transmigrates from one sky to another, he had parted from his sky and constellation, the Baptist, and had come towards his new sky, the Christ, in the constellation of the Lamb. He is not the biggest star, but he is the purest and the most beautiful one in the constellation of love. 3 years have gone by since then. Large and small stars joined my constellation, and then they departed from it. Some fell and died. Others have become smoky because of heavy vapours. But he has remained, fixed with his pure light, near the pole star.